We thank you for the privilege to do this. Let us stand. Dear Lord God, living God, holy God, you are a good God, and we thank God that we can celebrate Don's life this morning, being in the loving arms of Christ as we expound and teach His Word, knowing that Don and Judy want the gospel preached, and we will do that in honor of them. We pray, Lord, that by Your grace, that the singing and the preaching become fruitful in the hearts of those who may not know You. This is all about You, Lord, and that's the way Don would want it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.
We're going to begin the music portion of the service with some hymns. And if you know these hymns, please join us in singing. We'll begin with Love Lifted Me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, singing to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Yes, Judy, he was Judy's babe. 81 years old, went to be with the Lord on December 14, 2019. He died peaceably at the VA hospital in Tucson, Arizona. He was born January 24, 1938. The son of Arthur and Louise Meyer of Withy, Wisconsin. Is that right, Judy? Don worked for many years at the United States Paper Corporation, retiring in 2000. Don, along with his wife Judy, moved to Casa Grande, where they currently reside. Don loved fishing, enjoyed having family and friends at his cottage in northern Wisconsin. He was a deacon in this church and very involved in many church activities. He survived by his loving wife, Judy Klarna Meyer, of 53 years, his devoted son, Bruce Meyer, and his wife, Lisa. He was a special grandpa to Brandon, Ryan, Jessica, Cassie, and Calvin, and great-grandchildren, Kyla, Matthew, and Harper. He's also survived by a brother, Roger, and his wife, Dory Meyer, of Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. How's that, Judy? He was preceded in death by his parents and brothers, Gerald and Eugene, and his son, Tim. I mentioned before that funerals are for the living. I think it was at least six times Judy seen me in the halls. Make sure you preach the gospel, Pastor. Okay, Judy, you told me five times already. I understand that. But if anybody comes to these services, we always try, by God's grace, to preach the gospel during the funeral. Because funerals are for living. I mean, you know, funerals are for living, so we preach the gospel. There may be some in this room this morning that believe what you see is what you get. Basically, in the context, eat, drink, be merry, today you live, tomorrow you die. In fact, Doris Day, 1956, I was minus one. I was telling Rachel this morning she was minus 12, but I was minus one in 1956. She wrote a song, Que sera, que sera. Whatever will be, will be. The future is not ours to see. Que sera, que sera. Que sera, so I can't even say it. She lived to be 98 years old. I think she died in May of this year, right, Ben? Ben's my nostalgic guy. Now, on the temporal level, Miss Mary, on the temporal level, I believe she's right. I agree with Miss Day. But in the eternal level, I disagree. Because the Bible depicts all in Adam die. In other words, all who die in their sin will be eternally in torment. That's what the Bible teaches. But all in Christ are made alive. Those forgiven of their sins will live eternally with the Lord in eternal bliss. That's where Don is today, by God's grace. What I want to try to convince you this morning, and you know, New York guys, we can be pretty convincing. We could just go on and on until you just say, okay, I got it. But what I want to, Rachel, you agree with that? Okay. What I want to try to convince you this morning from IMA is that I want to give you a biblical perspective on how to view life and or death. I think Don would want me to do this morning, coupled by Judy reminding me every 20 minutes. There's an interesting story in the Bible about the prophet Elisha and his servant when they were being sought after by the wicked king of Syria. The servant of Elisha went out to see the approaching army that was coming, and he was frightened. And the text says that Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be opened, spiritually opened, basically. And what was revealed to him was a vision of these chariots of fire surrounding them from the mountains and protecting them from the approaching onslaught. And the point of the narrative was that there was something more than what meets the eye. Something more than what meets the eye. The prophet's servant was given spiritual eyes, Mary, to see above the surface, above the temporal way of life, knowing there's more than meets the eye in this God-ordained world. Listen, you know the saying, what you see is what you get? No. What you see here is not what you get. This is only temporal. This is only temporal. I really believe it's election season, right? So I say Don would approve this message. Right? I really believe Marilyn says, she'll get me later. She went, oh, no, Pastor. That's right, election. No. Okay. Yes, ma'am. I really believe Don would approve this message. Let us go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Just hold there. Just give me a second, Miss Ashley. And what I want to do, Miss Judy, if I may, this is the sermon you wanted me to preach. I want to contrast the eternal with the temporal. Right? Because we live in a temporal world. But what I want to do is I want to contrast the eternal, if I may, with the temporal. Right? So that's my plight this morning, if I may. And hopefully Don will be pleased. More than that, I want Judy to be pleased because I don't want to hear her for the rest of the week. Don was a kind man. Last few months of his life, he was struggling with his health. He eventually died in the VA hospital in Tucson on December 14, 2019, the year of our Lord. Anybody who met Don recognized the kindness of this man, and for that reason, he was the consummate deacon. He was the consummate deacon in this church. And we will miss you, brother, and someday by God's grace, we will be reunited together. Don loved you, Judy. I mean, who doesn't love Judy? But again, Judy, he loved you dearly. And Judy, you can keep that in your watch pocket forever with that being said. I just want to take a moment to commend my sister Judy, who was a true and loving wife, as she stood with her husband until the very end, spending countless hours in the hospital until the Lord took him. The consummate wife. The consummate sister in Christ. May the Lord bless and keep you and shine His light upon you. Don is, well, here's where I kind of disagree a little bit. Don, as well as Judy, were huge Green Bay Packer fans. Judy still is. And being a football fan myself, I could understand him enjoying the games, but not the Packers. In fact, Don bought this huge, huge TV so he can enjoy the games, for which he was not really able to do so. But Don's enjoyment is far greater today. The Bible depicts absent from the body, present with the Lord. Judy, take solace in that this morning. You know, Ben, I don't know why. I always think about, I know this is crazy. Don't charge me on this. Marilyn, close your ears because I don't want you to yell at me later. Just think, maybe Don can watch the games. Who knows? That's going through Judy's head, right? Don't charge me on that. The Bible doesn't say that. One thing I do know, and that Don as well as Judy want me to preach the gospel at Don's celebration service of life. And I mentioned that already. I'm just mentioning it as many times as Judy mentioned it to me. And the reason I say this is because death is no respecter of persons. Death is no respecter of persons. In fact, the Bible says that sin is crouching at the door in the book of Genesis. Sermons during a memorial service are for the living. They challenge the hearers of where their eternal destiny would be. Again, this is something that Judy and Don would want me to do. This is the challenge for all of us. Ecclesiastes 9, two verses here, 11 and 12. I again saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, and the battle not to the warriors, and neither bread to the wise, nor wealth to discerning, nor favor to men of ability, for time and chance overtake them all. Moreover, man does not know his time, like fish caught in a treacherous net, and birds trapped in a snare, so the sons of men are ensnared in evil time when it suddenly falls on them. So if we look at this text, we say maybe Doris Day is right. Because it seems here that time and chance could happen to everybody. The problem is when we just read two verses out of the Bible without looking at the whole context, we got serious problems. The problem here, the writer of Ecclesiastes is looking at everything at a temporal level. If you know the book of Ecclesiastes, he's looking at everything temporally. And he says, man, if this is all there is, we're in trouble. Big trouble. So again, I agree with Miss Day that yes, temporally, if you don't know the Lord, yes, there are troubles in River City, so to speak. But if you notice the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to go over it, give you a synopsis in the next 20 minutes or so about what this book teaches, hopefully and prayerfully we will get an outlook of what we're talking about here. What the text tells us, we don't have everything figured out. Right? We may think one thing, but something else happens. Basically, we have no control of any of all situations in this life. But here's the key. The writer of Ecclesiastes, right, for the most part, sees things again from a temporal level or a human perspective, if I may. A human perspective, which frustrates him. It frustrates him. The question he wrestles with basically is, do we really live by time and chance? Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. The answer is no, we don't. And it took him the whole 12 chapters to find out that there's more than meets the eye. And this is where we're going within the sermon this morning. He had an extravagant lifestyle, whoever the writer was, right? He had a lot of money. He found worldly experiences to be fleeting, elusive. He would say it's all a vapor, it's all vanity. I mean, he's talking about this life. He's saying this life is nothing but a vapor, it's nothing but vanity. And how much stock do we put in this life? And the writer, in all his endeavors and all the money he had, Donna and Sonny, says, you know what? Something's missing. It was all vanity. And he gained experience. His expectations were not what they thought they would be. Did you ever in your life, and you know, Judy, did you ever in your life just expected something and it just was not what you expected? Every Sunday you expect the Packers to win, don't you? Do they win every Sunday, Judy? No, they don't. Right? I'll leave that for another day. Death is always crouching at the door, right? And because of death, the writer of Ecclesiastes became a deep thinker. Because he says, man, is that all there is? Is that it? And this is what made him delve into these areas. And the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes that God has written eternity on everyone's heart. Because there's never no satisfaction. I don't care what you got, how much money you got. There's just something missing. And this is what the writer found out. Basically, if this is all there is in this life, what a still sad state of affairs. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. But then the writer of Ecclesiastes spoke about the vanity of the natural world. He spoke about the vanity of wisdom, of knowledge, possessions, accomplishments, the vanity of mortal life. To him, all became fleeting concepts. Man, listen. A lot of you people, I may not see ever again. And these are the hardest sermons to preach because I don't know where you guys are at with the Lord. Only the Lord knows. But here's the deal. Either you are going to live temporally and be in torment, as the Bible says, or don't charge me. Don't, it's not me. Or you're going to be forever with the Lord. There's no in the middle option. And the problem is sometimes we don't think much about that. We don't think past the temporal. Because time and chance can happen to everybody at any time. The problem is, where are you at? Where am I at? And Don would want me to say that this morning. Because that's the caring deacon that served in this church. The writer of Ecclesiastes acknowledged the world was fallen in sin. Like Paul depicted, the world is groaning. It can't wait to get back to its original attention. In other words, if in this passage we've looked at the unpredictability of life. Right? It's unpredictable. I remember Judy telling me, we had a conversation the other day, and she was saying, man, Pastor, I really thought Don was going to get out of it. She really did. And then she told me the last day or two, she knew it was not good. The unpredictability of life. Was it unpredictable? Yes, it was. I mean, we would expect the fastest person to win a foot race, the most seasoned and most powerful warriors to win the battle, the most physically able to come out in a physical context. But what the writer tells us, that's not always true. That's not always true. We think, you know what the problem is, me first, we think we got everything figured out. Mary, we don't. We don't. And that's where I disagree with Miss Day, because it's not que sera, sera. Yes, it is here. But I believe in an eternal God in Christ that knows the future and knows the future from the beginning to the end. And He's given us that in His book. Praise the Lord for that. Because if you're absent with the body, you're present with the Lord. The common denominator for the writer of Ecclesiastes is death. Is death, which no one can control. Now I want you to hear this. It comes in unexpected times, even in one's own success or failures, unless there's a God. Then death is not the end. Death is not the end because there is a God, but it's not not only is it the end that you can be with the Lord, but you can be what? Eternally in damnation on the other hand. It's not 85 and out. And this is the challenge. This is the challenge for me first. The search for answers concerning human existence has the wisest people in the world baffled. Because we know, Judy, that time and chance could happen to anyone at any time. If Don could speak to us today, despite him being the loving man that he was, he would want us to know that time and chance could happen to anyone. And again, Don's death, for the most part, was unexpected. So my question to me first is, what consumes our lives? What are our expectations? Because when the unexpected happens, and it can and it will, the question is, am I ready? Are you ready to face the Lord? That's the question. Me first. Are you ready? Am I ready? Are they ready? Is Marilyn ready? Is Ben ready? Are we ready to face the Lord? For Don, there was only one way to salvation, and that was through Jesus Christ. Yes, he was a quiet man, but when you spoke to him, you realized he was a deep thinker. Miss Ashley, two more verses. The conclusion. When all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. That's his synopsis. So he went through this whole book with all these riches and tried to figure out life. And at the end of the day, this is a God thing. It's a God thing. Basically, again, I agree with Miss Day on the temple, but I disagree because here, the conclusion, when all has been said, fear God and keep His commandments, because He's got a home for His people. Basically, what he's saying is, in his experience, all was vanity. Then he realizes the most important thing. Verse 13, fear God, meaning respect, honor, worship the Lord, to keep God's mandates or His commandments, for this is the whole of humanity. In other words, it applies to every person, because I've come to the conclusion that there is a God in Christ. And you know what? Me first, we're all going to be accountable to that God who gives us the very breath, the very food that you're going to eat later. The very breath that you breathe is a gift from the living God. The pavement, the children that you have, the cars that you drive, the fellowship that you have, all of it is a gift from God. Everything. And we're all going to be accountable. Me first. As the writer depicts, this is the most important thing that one should do in his life, especially considering what we just read. God knows everything. This is one's whole duty. And the writer of Ecclesiastes learned this by experience, because there is a God. Verse 14, we must take refuge in God, because God eternally will have the last say of all humanity. And that last say comes by way of Jesus Christ, because the Bible depicts He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And listen to this, Judy, you don't know this, but I wrote this sermon a couple of days ago, and before I got my little pamphlet that Don and I got here, it says Jesus depicts no one can come to the Father unless through Him. Look on the front of your bulletins, because that's what was put there. Basically, Christ is the only way to salvation. And the alternative to that is what? God will bring every act to judgment. Listen, if you're a Christian today, you are not going to be judged in your sin, because Christ took that judgment for you. Or else you're going to stand alone and stand by yourself. And the Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. So if you trust in Christ, if you believe in Christ, He has taken that judgment for you. A judgment that you, that me and Judy rightly deserve. But because we trust in Christ, He takes that judgment for us. Amen. There's a positive outcome for those who are faithful in Christ. In other words, God will make everything right through judgment. He'll separate the wheat and the tares. Hopefully, we're trusting in Him today. Don would want you to take this message seriously. So I disagree with Miss Day. The future is ours to see in Christ Jesus. In closing, the congregation here at Desert Sky has seen its number of deaths in this coming year. My mother-in-law, Rachel's mom, who I love, West Nile disease. Glinda's loving mom also passed away. Gary Abbott's mother-in-law, Becky's grandmother. Donna Davis's beloved sister, Bonnie Strokel. If I missed any, forgive me. The hardest thing for a pastor is dealing with death, and we deal with it a lot here in the church. But if you're a Christian, the Bible says, absent with the body, present with the Lord. Because really, Ben, time and chance does not really happen to us. If you are trusting in Christ, there is no time and chance. Really. The answer is, if you're not trusting in Christ, you basically are living by time and chance. And I challenge you to realize that there's much more than meets the eye. Because there is a God in Christ. But we must take solace, because the songwriter depicts rightly, Jesus Christ, the solid rock I stand, all else is sinking sand. There is much to contemplate, and the loving soul that Don was, he I know would want us to reflect that time and chance can happen to anyone. So are we ready? That's the question. Are we ready? In Jesus' name, amen. And apropos, is that the song? Next one? Okay. Praise the Lord.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. To the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Well, before we pass the microphone around and see if anybody has any reflections with Don, I have a couple of reflections from abroad. You know Brandon? Is that your grandson? Well, he wrote a letter. My grandfather lived his life for Christ so that one day he could walk with him in heaven, to live with him, to leave behind his earthly body and know nothing but happiness. I wish I could feel his joy and see his smiling face. Grandpa, you will forever be in my heart and thoughts and memories. I will cherish the time we had together for the rest of my life. The thought of you and my father together again brings tears of joy to my eyes. The last time we talked, neither one of us said goodbye, but only I love you. Love always, Brandon. Do you know Bruce? That's Judy's son. Hello, everyone. I'm Bruce Meyer. Just reading what it says, right? Don't charge me, Judy. I'm Don Meyer's oldest son. Sorry I'm unable to be here to say these words in person. My father was a great man who loved his family very much. He was quiet and hardworking. He helped so many people in his life, whether it was doing yard work for neighbors or his church or helping to fix others' cars or water pipes. Water pipes? Okay. Praise the Lord. My fondest memories of my father are Christmas, going camping up north, taking family vacations, trips to Canada fishing, going to Packer games, or just being at the cottage watching TV or playing cards. My dad was a great father and a grandfather, and I'm sure a great husband. Was he a great husband, Judy? There is no person that I will look up to more, respect more, miss more, and love more than you, Dad. I will be with you again someday. Rest in peace, Dad. I love you. Bruce. So, with that, my fellow elder has got a mic, and everybody knows Don. If somebody got a couple of words to say. There you go. Okay. Yes, sir.
We honor God today as we celebrate Don Meyer's life. Okay. I'm a little wobbly, but I'll stand. Okay. I just said that we honor God today as we celebrate Don's life. And when I was thinking about the memorial, I was reminded of a scripture in Isaiah 46:4. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you, and I will rescue you. Isn't that a beautiful promise? In all dawns, I may have to sit down, Pastor. Okay. In all dawn suffering, he died in perfect peace because he resigned to the will of his Creator, rising above the storms of life to rest in the love and care of his great and mighty Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the sovereign God who gives and he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not a poet, but I put words together, and I do that because it's my way to say goodbye until we meet again. A gentle man has passed beyond our physical sight, but in our hearts we'll always see his beautiful inner light. God has been so good to place him here with us. He was added to the body for his love, care, and trust. We prayed we could keep him if God was willing so, but God chose to take him from his suffering here below. Now, face to face with his Savior, everything shifted around. Where sickness once prevailed, now joy and health abound. And to Judy, who loved him most, may God comfort and carry you. Your greatest day is coming when he will bring together the eternal love of two. A gentleman has passed beyond our physical sight, but in our hearts we'll always see his beautiful inner light.
I was privileged to know Don and Judy for, almost 15 years. And he was such a quiet man. And as Judy and I are not quite so quiet, he spent a lot of time in the pool with us, just watching us, telling stories, and didn't ever say much, but you could always see the light in his eyes because he really enjoyed it. And I know that tomorrow, the Packers will have a 12th man.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. Pastor, I just wanted to show you this wristband. Yeah.
Giants.
Yeah. Hi, Judy. It's so nice to see you. It's been way too long. My name is Todd Pulowski, and I'm the son of David. And I'm here with my wife, Sherry, and my mom, Kathy. We've known the Myers 40 years. They talk about the cottage in northern Wisconsin. My mom and dad had a place right next door to theirs. And I was fortunate enough to be in that boat when my dad and Donnie would go after the elusive muskie. And it was just so heartwarming to see the pictures back there of some of the fish that Donnie caught and my dad caught. And they happened to be in the boat that morning. Donnie was in the boat the morning of the day I got my muskie. It was June of 1987 on Birch Lake. We were actually fishing for walleye, but somehow I got a muskie. And my wife and I were living in Miami at the time, a small apartment. We had been married about a year. And my dad and Donnie were so proud of this fish. I thought it was pretty cool, but the muskie was everything to them. And so my dad ran down to the taxidermy and got this fish mounted and sent it to us in Miami. Well, when I received it, I thought, wow, this is awesome. And so I ended up putting it, much to my wife's chagrin, right above the couch in the small living room that we had so everybody that came to our house could see this fish. Well, over the years, we've moved around a lot. We went from Miami to Atlanta to Long Island to Connecticut to the Bay Area, and now we live down in Southern California. Yeah, and over the years, the fish has not had as prominent of a location in our houses. In fact, the last move to Southern California, the fish was not allowed out of the moving box. And so one Saturday, I was thinking about this fish, and Sherry was out shopping, and I went into the garage where some of the boxes that he had yet to unpack were located, and I found the fish. So we have a little office off the side of our bedroom upstairs, and it's my little man cave. And I figure I can do whatever I want in this man cave. That's my property. I don't know if I have full support of that, but Sherry's been pretty good about that over the years. And so I ended up taking that fish upstairs and grabbed a ladder and a hammer, and I mounted the fish on the wall. While I'm pounding this fish in, Sherry comes home. I don't know how she knew this, but she heard the pounding, and she immediately said, "You're not mounting that darn fish, are you?" I was like, "How do you even know? You're not even upstairs, but sure, I was mounting that fish." Well, Judy, every day, that fish now is, if you lie on our bed, you turn to the side, you see this fish. It's in the man cave. It's not in the bedroom, my property. Sherry gets to look at it a lot, but I look at that fish every day, and it brings back just incredible memories of my dad and Donnie and you. And we love that man, and thank you for sharing him with us for so many years.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Don being quiet is not a secret, obviously. He's quiet wherever he went. Well, he was quiet in our Sunday school class as well. But when he did start to talk, everybody listened. Everybody was looking. Amen. He had their attention, and he got to say and feel his love for Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thanks, Ben. Miss Marilyn, right? Okay. Judy, this is your, I got here, Judy, thank people. She came up to me yesterday and says, "Can you fit me in somewhere?" Yeah, Judy, where you want to go? Judy, thank people.
Fishing. And we all said, don't bring a fish home. When they got home, they opened the trunk of the car, and there was a big, long box. And I looked at the other women, and I said, I know it's mine. I know it's mine. And it is in our Arizona room right now. So, but thank you all so much. You've all been so supportive and so wonderful through this time. Thank you.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to close out in prayer. I'm going to pray for the food. But then you guys can't go eat until we finish victory in Jesus, right? There's no food. First the Lord gets praised, right? I see Donna, Sonny's wife. Are you making fun of me, Miss Donna? No, she says. I love her so much. So let's close out. Let's stand. And we'll remain standing singing Victory in Jesus, and then we'll dismiss for lunch. Dear Lord, Holy Lord, Sacred Lord, Living Lord, thank you. This was a celebration of life in its truest form. For a dear brother and friend, and a great husband and friend to many, we thank you, Lord, for life, for Don's life that he shared with all of us, as you can see. Lord, may you bless this food as we eat the food that you've given us. It's your bounty that we receive, Lord. There's nothing outside this world in this that is not yours. And we thank you for sharing it with sinners like myself first. So thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the celebration of life. And at the end of the day, Judy, Don is singing Victory in Jesus. Amen.
I've heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I've heard about his throning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of the cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angel singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought
arms lead to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Okay. Judy invites everyone to join in the fellowship hall, celebration and joy at Dawn's homecoming with the Lord. God bless you all.